Studying James for, I guess, a number of weeks now. We took 2 weeks off over Christmas to look at different things, but now we're back in this book. We're in the end of chapter 3. And I just keep saying this, and I'm just going to keep saying this, but I love the fact that we can take a book and just go from beginning to end and look at the different things that he says and that God gives us, because it is very easy as a pastor to try to think of things, sermon topics that might make you feel good, but all of it should make us feel good ultimately, but for the right reasons. But this is another text, and I said it once before, that James is just going to keep giving us hard things to work with. He's just going to say hard words to us in this book. And I love the fact that we have to sit and listen to James as he, and the Holy Spirit through James, as he talks to us and shares with us through the word. Last week we looked at, if you were here, the passage that addresses our tongue and how our words carry a great deal of influence. That we talked about how the body, like a ship, is guided by our tongues, that our mouths and what we say can influence the course of our lives. You know, the mouths can boast of great things that maybe our body can't totally back up. You ever heard, you know, your lips are writing checks your body can't cash? That's a truth that we can back up with Scripture when he says our mouths are powerful. Our words have a great deal of influence. And he says that our predisposition is to use those words to inflict pain. Our typical bent is to inflict pain with our words and inflict hurt on others because we want to lift ourselves up. It's part of our fallen nature, the sin nature that we inherited from Adam. But that when we become Christians, it says it ought not to be so with believers. That when a person comes to know Christ and experience the life and the love of Jesus Christ poured out to us, it changes the very nature of our hearts. And so the things that flow out of our mouths have been changed also. And so we begin to use those words to build up and to encourage and to strengthen. And I think this week, James gets to... Last week was more of like, this is how it is. You know, this, your words have great power. Your bent is to kind of use them for evil, but it ought not to be so for believers. So he's kind of giving us this surface level. This is what it should look like. And I think today he's getting a little bit to underneath that, to look at the motives of, so why is it that when we're saying words that are evil, it's revealing something in our heart. What is it that's in our heart, and what's going into our heart that makes those words, when we're unbelievers, be evil, and when we're believers, what is the change that's in there? And he calls it, and you might have felt the tension, by the way, because, and I hope that when we read Scripture, that you feel the tension that a writer puts into this, because he is saying, these things not ought to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield water. So what we looked at last week is he's saying, look, if there's stuff coming out of your mouth that's evil, it's not because just your mouth is evil, your whole heart. There's something going on in here. And so this week he's getting to what goes into our minds and in our hearts and how that affects what comes out of it. So he's got another hard word for us. And like I said, I hope we feel this tension when we read the Scripture, that you go, how am I going to do that? How is this going to work, God? Because like you said, if you've, in, you know, earlier back, it says, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. This is all still last week, so we're going to get into the text this week. But there's a tension here that he's saying, okay, you're telling me that if I don't stumble in what I say, that I'm doing really well. How's this going to happen? How does this make sense, God? Because I can't seem to do this well. I mean, fortunately, I ride home in the truck by myself from Sundays. Otherwise, I would have blown it in the car on the way home with my wife or with my kids with this whole, you know, what I'm preaching. So how do we do this? And hopefully God will help us through the Holy Spirit this morning to know better how we do this, how we see this at work in our hearts. So that's what my prayer is for us today. So it's, last week was what was mostly, it was the surface level, and today we're going to get to what's in the heart. So let's go ahead and read the text. This is James 3, 13 through 18, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and just so you know. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord God, I thank you for your word, for the scriptures that you have given us that illuminate your heart for us, and the scriptures that reveal our hearts to us so that we might see that we need a Savior, so that we might see that we need to be rescued from ourselves. Lord, I want to say from the outset that this is not a message that I have perfected by any means. So I ask that you would help me today, that the word that you speak to us would change all of our hearts, starting with me, so that I would revel in you, so that I would boast in you, so that I would seek your glory above my own. Lord, help me to accurately speak your truth today. And Lord, change our hearts from the very inside. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I think we can all relate to the fact that words can be hurtful, can we not? I mean, raise your hand if you've never been hurt by a word that someone said. That's what I thought. I mean, there's people in here, because I've got family in here, who've been hurt by words that I've said. So I know we could probably, yeah, we won't talk about that. But the truth is that we all know this truth, and we all know this thing that's going on. And so what is at the root? What's underneath it all? What starts that? Why is it that I say these things and I go, why did I even speak that? Well, I think James is, it's not a coincidence. It's not a kind of like he said enough about the tongue, so now what do I talk about? Maybe wisdom. No, he wants to get at what's underneath the words, what's underneath what's going on here. And he uses the term wisdom, which is interesting because I think wisdom says a lot about where we're getting our information from. Wisdom is not, try to find a way to articulate this. Wisdom's not something that you can totally grab onto completely, is it? I mean, if somebody says something is wise, you're like, really? I mean, it's kind of a gray area. Do you know what I mean? Like some people might say, well, I think it will be wise to do this. Or I think it will be wise to do this. How are we to discern, you know, maybe investments? If you think about, you know, what you do with your money. Well, I think it would be wise to put it in a jar, put it under your mattress, and just hold on to it. You know, well, I think it would be wise to do this and invest it in, you know, all these different places. Well, depending on people's information source, Their view of wisdom is going to be different. And I think that's what James wants to get at today, because he talks about wisdom from above and wisdom from the earth, earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. And that's how he phrases them. Wisdom from above, wisdom that comes down from above, verse 15. And he talks about wisdom that comes from man. Where did I find that? It's in there. Okay. 15. Wisdom that comes from above. Oh, okay, but the wisdom that does not come from above is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. So what I want to look at today is the difference between wisdom that comes from the earth, wisdom that is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, as he says, and wisdom that comes from above, and the difference in those two things, and how that will shape our decisions, how that will shape what comes out of our mouths. Because the truth that we just talked about, and even in chapters past, is what is in here is going to come out either in our actions, like he talked about faith and works. If our in here is faith, then there's going to be works. If in here is truth and love, it's going to be coming out in words that build up. So what comes into us then becomes very important, because what comes into our hearts will dictate often what comes out of our hearts, which gives us what is our source of what's coming in. What's our filter for what we allow to come in to our heads and to our hearts, so that we might then produce wisdom that is from above. So let's look at how he describes earthly wisdom and godly wisdom, first of all. And then we'll talk about how that works out. Earthly wisdom, first of all, as a category, earthly wisdom seeks its own glory. And I'll explain how this works out in each of these things. He talks about, these are the ways that he listed: bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, being boastful, false to the truth, unspiritual, demonic, disorderly, full of vile practices. So now I'm going to just, you know, unpack each one of those. Bitter jealousy. How is this seeking my own glory? Because the thing I want to say is that when we are so captured by making Jesus look good with our lives, that the things that come out of our mouths will primarily be to that purpose. Does that make sense? When our full goal in life is to make Jesus look good, the things that come out of our mouth are going to mirror that truth in our hearts. So how is earthly wisdom different from that? Well, he says bitter jealousy. Bitter jealousy. Now, we talk about being jealous, right? Oh, somebody, you know, they have this life or they have that or whatever. Oh, I'm so jealous of them. You know, bitter jealousy is something far different. Bitter jealousy, and I would say that even a little bit of jealousy, we talk about it. It's even something to be cautious about. But bitter jealousy is this burning in your heart that, look, I want that for myself. Somebody has that, and I am jealous of that because I want it for myself. Because we think we deserve that thing that somebody else has that I don't have. There's this thing in our hearts where we think, I'm worthy of that thing. Why don't I have it? Why do they have it? I'm bitter about that. I'm angry because I think that I deserve that. Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. Ambition that promotes ourselves at the expense of someone else. That we're ambitious for selfish gain because we want this thing so badly because A, like we said before, we think we deserve it. Or B, because they don't deserve it. So we're gonna promote ourselves at the expense of someone else. Being boastful, telling people how good we are at something. Nobody likes that, but we all do it, don't we? I mean, when we meet somebody, the tension, I feel this. There's this part where I ask somebody, you know, so what do you do? You know, I don't care what they do. I just want to tell them what I do, you know? You know, there's this boasting. So how, you know, what's, you know, how do you do this? What do you, we don't talk about this. I don't think anybody asks, you know, so what do you make? Ha, I make this. You know, even if it's not true, we'll boast just to say that, right? Or maybe not you guys, but some people will, I'm sure. So we want to tell people how good we are to puff ourselves up, to make ourselves look bigger in their eyes. That's the heart behind boasting. I want to make myself look bigger to you because I want you to respect and honor and worship me. And then tell other people how good I am. What she says is false to the truth. Truth is, we're not that great. You know, if we're really that great, and my kids are here so I can say this. When we talk about trying to teach kids humility in the midst, because Micah is an excellent athlete. The boy can throw a football better than I can. He can play soccer really well. I mean, and Nathan both, they both excel in the sport so far. And it's really hard when they go, Dad, I'm the best on the team. And I'm the coach. And I'm like, it's in my head, I'm going, it's true. I know. And it's honestly, it's not because I'm his dad. Maybe. But there's this thing, how do I teach him how to be humble? So do I tell him, no, Micah, you're not that good? Or do I say, Micah, it's better to let other people tell you that. It's better to let other people tell you that than just to go out and say it and let people know. Because what if there's somebody who is better than you? It's not true. So there's this. When we begin to start boasting, as we talked about before, we tend to embellish things a little bit, too, and it becomes untruthful. Well, I could go down a list of things, but you know, we start to exaggerate a little bit, and things move in, and then it's all of a sudden we've telling this story that doesn't even exist. So it's false to the truth. It's also unspiritual, as he said, as we've read the fruits of the Spirit. From Galatians, it's very clear that when we are seeking our own glory, when we are trying to promote ourselves above other people, those are not love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. That's when we probably should fall into that category. You know, all of those things, the humility is from the Spirit. It's unspiritual if we're saying things that are against that. It's unspiritual, it's not from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, if we're saying things, promoting ourselves, being boastful, selfishly ambitious, being jealous. And he goes even further. It's not just unspiritual, it's demonic. I wouldn't necessarily recommend this, but you know, if someone is being incredibly boastful and telling, you know, somebody how great they are at this and they're trying to put other people down at their expense, and there's a part of you that should go, that's demonic. That's not just with the absence of the Holy Spirit. That's with the influence of Satan. That's with the influence of the evil one who's telling that person, you are better. You do deserve that. Why did they have that? You deserve better. You really should just go get it. Satan is the father of lies. He is the author of lies. It says he's a roaring lion praying around, which looking for someone to destroy. How does he destroy us? How did he destroy Adam and Eve? Think about it. Did God really say that? Did God really tell you not to eat that? Oh, no. If you eat this, the reason he told you that is because if you eat this, you'll be like him. You're lowly right now, but you could be like God. You deserve that, don't you? I mean, for goodness sakes, he's got you walking around naked. You know, don't you deserve some clothes? Don't you deserve to be like God? Go ahead and eat it. That's how Satan gets underneath us and starts to change our minds and change our thoughts about things and make us focus more on our own well-being, promotion, whatever it is, than on his glory, on God's glory. He goes on to say it's disorderly. It puts us on the throne. It throws things out of order. Earthly wisdom does. It puts us on the throne. The order is that God creates and we are created. And the created worships the creator. Earthly wisdom disrupts that order and says, we should be worshiped like the God, or creation should be worshiped like the God. We talked about that when we read Romans 1, right? If you were here. The biggest sin was believing a lie, and the lie led to worshiping the created rather than the creator. So it's disorderly. Earthly wisdom is also full of vile practices. If your only intent is towards your own happiness and comfort, your own feelings, putting yourself up, boasting, telling people about you are because you want them to worship you, and not the order that's created where we worship God, and so God gives us these instructions through the word, and so we follow and bring our lives under these instructions. When we've disrupted that order, then all of our desires come out in this, I just want to be happy. I just want to be comfortable. Don't I deserve that? I mean, have you guys ever heard that? I mean, there is a system of teaching, even in the Christian church right now, that all Jesus wants for you to be is to be happy and healthy and rich. That is unspiritual, demonic, because it puts you on the throne and makes God your servant. It's called the prosperity gospel, that Jesus came to bring you wealth, health, and prosperity. Jesus never said that. Jesus says, if they call the master of the house Beelzebul, what do you think they'll do to you? He says, don't go looking for peace, for prosperity. You get ready for suffering. I mean, it's all through Scripture. Our lives as Christians. And we suffer because there's something worthy. There's something more glorious. There's this glory of God that is more valuable than our own comfort. And that's why wisdom from above, godly wisdom, seeks God's glory above all else. He says that godly wisdom is meek. Now, this was a flip of the order in Greek times, because the Greeks saw meekness as weakness, and they would detest that. So he's saying, look, the first thing, wisdom from above, is meekness of wisdom, as he says in verse 13. There's meekness in God's wisdom, which went against the culture. He says it's pure. When your heart is set on God's glory, you're going to be pure because you're going to line yourself up with his word. You see, all the things that were unspiritual, unearthly wisdom were all about elevating you. They're all about elevating your own worth, your own glory. You deserve it. Live your best life now. You need this money. Don't you deserve the money that you get from refinancing your house and doing, or you know, whatever the commercial is telling us to do? You deserve this, don't you? If we buy into that, we've bought into this earthly wisdom. And the godly wisdom says, you know what? Isn't God worthy of this? Isn't God worthy of this? Aren't you really just someone that he's created? And that's pure because it's true. It's pure because that's the way that God set up this world to be. He says it's peaceable. It brings peace. When we are prone to elevate Christ above ourselves, There's a peace that happens in the midst of that. You know, I'm sure nobody had any family situations happen over Christmas or Thanksgiving, but if we're in a family, we'll call it a situation. Some might call it a fight. The police have some code for it, but if you're in one of those things as a Christian, and somebody is hurling insults at you and saying things that are false and accusing and mean, if we're a Christian and we're saying, you know what, my goal is to bring glory to Jesus Christ through this and not to elevate my own self, what does argument do? Argument just tries to, all right, you hit me down, so I've got to get back up out of this and lift myself up. So part of that is just accusing back. Well, you did this and you did this and you look at you. It's just this you know, game where who can push down the hardest. But if we're in the place where we see God's glory is above all else, say, you know what? You can say whatever you want of me. Because you know what? I have a Savior who has seen the worst of me and all of it, the stuff that you could never see that goes on in my heart. And he said, I forgive you. So there's nothing you can say that can touch me. There's nothing you can say that could put me down, because everything, all of the truth in my heart, all of the vileness, all of the evil thoughts and intentions of my heart have been seen on the cross, and Jesus bore that weight. He took that burden. He took the punishment for that. And so there's nothing you can say to me that's going to bring any light on that, that's going to shed any more truth to that, because Jesus saw it all and he still went to the cross and he said, I forgive you. So in the midst of an argument or in the midst of whatever, somebody can be hurling insults at you, and you know what? I don't have any need to defend myself. Say what you'd like, you know? But Jesus sees it all, even if what you're saying is not true. I had an argument with my boss one time. This is years ago, over how we make the brick joints look like. I mean, I was working for a masonry contractor, and I was okay. This needs to be struck like this, and he wanted to do it the cheap and easy way, and so I wanted to do it right, and so I'm arguing with him, and he's like, you know, I think you really, I can't remember how he said, but he's, and you just, you know, I just think you really disrespected me or something. And I was like, you know what, man, I felt convicted. And I said, you know what, I did worse. It wasn't just that. I did worse. I thought that I'm better than you, and somehow I can tell you what you need to do. You don't know the half of it. That's really the case most times in those arguments, isn't it? If you knew what was going on in my heart, you wouldn't pull out that little stuff. You'd be going in for the kill. But when we just sit back and say, you know what? There's nothing that you can say that Jesus hasn't said, I forgive you. And not just in an easy way, like I swept it under the rug kind of way, but I took the punishment for it. I bore the weight for it. I took the wrath for it. And that brings peace. It also will make us gentle. It'll make us open to reason. Because when there's nothing anybody can say about you that hasn't already been said on the cross, you know what? I can see both sides of this. I can see where I'm messed up. I can see where you're right. It makes us full of mercy and good fruits, he says. There's a verse that says, he who has been forgiven much will love much. When we know how much we've been forgiven by God, we're willing to give that mercy to other people, aren't we? When you know that you have been so forgiven by God, and there's nothing that you can say that it wasn't said on the cross, then you know what? Pour that mercy back on you too, because it was freely given to me. It makes us impartial, he says. Makes us sincere. And all of those things come out of this desire to see somebody's glory, don't they? Earthly wisdom seeks our own glory. We need to get ourselves higher, elevated, in people's sight. And sometimes we do things that will push others down to do that. And we'll step on whoever, you know, climbing the corporate ladder. It doesn't matter whose fingers or head you step on to get up there. Those are the things that come. So if there's wisdom coming into your life that's telling you those things, the filter needs to be, is this elevating me or elevating Jesus? Because when we see the glory, and the, like I said earlier, when we have been so captivated by something that has brought us so much joy and peace, don't we want to make that look bigger? Don't we want to make that look great? So godly wisdom is something that's going to promote that. That's going to help us to do that. That's going to help us to say, you know what? You know, if somebody gives us a, I don't want to give too many examples because then you'll think, well, every time somebody gives me a compliment, this is what I have to say. This is not what you have to say, but this is the heart that's behind it. You know, if somebody gives me a compliment or whatever, you know what? God has been so good to me. If you knew me before, if you knew what was going on in my heart, it's the glory is God's because he has done some amazing things. And when we do that, we're putting elevating God, which ultimately is what's going to bring people hope and peace, right? And this gets back to the whole disorder of it. If we're elevating ourselves as worthy, as glorious, as good, as better, what do we want people to do? We want people to put their trust in us and their hope in us. And we want them to give every, you know, the worship to us so that we feel better and better and better and better. But what are we going to offer them? We've got nothing unless we're offering them Jesus. And the only way to do that is to say, look, there is one who is more satisfying, more glorious, more worthy of all praise and all exaltation and all glory and all songs and all everything you could imagine. And he gave me life and he can give it to you. And I can go through anything that life throws at me. And I know that I have him and that's all that I care about. Having anything else that puffs me up only just reinforces the fact that I need a savior because it's empty puffing up. But if we're puffing up Jesus, he doesn't necessarily need to be puffed up, but he is there. You know, it's like if you've got, a flashlight on a sunny day. Imagine walking around with a flashlight and somebody goes, man, it's bright out here. And you're like, it's thanks to my flashlight. No, you idiot, it's the sun. You know, as Christians, if we're walking around life and we've got a flashlight out, you know, and people are saying, well, you know, this is great what's going on in your life. It's because I got this flashlight. I can see my way. They go, wow, the flashlight. That's great. It's like, dude, it's noon. There's not even any shadows around. We're at a field. You know, like, that's the ridiculousness that it is as Christians if we're trying to shine the light on ourselves and make ourselves look better. And that's the difference. That's what James wants to get at here. So the speech that comes out of our mouth, the speech that creates chaos or creates, you know, these vile things, if we see that speech coming out of us, it's because there's something in our hearts that wants to make us look bigger. It's because we've lost sight of the fact that the sun's out and we're trying to shine a flashlight. And the ultimate thing that he says will produce, verse 18, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. A harvest of righteousness. When we're seeking our own glory, we can't create righteousness in others. It's false. But when we're seeking God's glory and we're concerned about making him look great so that more people come to him, there's going to be a harvest of righteousness. More people will put their faith in Jesus Christ. More people will be declared righteous because of us saying, look at the sun. Look at that glory. That is magnificent. That is amazing. There's only one way that any of us can go from seeking our own glory to seeking God's glory in our lives. And that's for us. We have to see the Son. We have to see the glory of God displayed through Jesus Christ and his finished work for us. Some of us, we may be walking around with flashlights and we may think that we're causing the light. Because I go to church on Sundays. I read my Bible sometimes. I'm nice to my kid. I haven't hit my wife in like a week. You know, whatever it may be, I haven't, you know, like there's these things that we think that we're doing well and we're walking around with a flashlight. Our good works, our goodness. And then it could be good things. It could be things that God wants us to do. I'm speaking well to people. You know, I'm giving. I'm doing these things. And I'm walking around with a flashlight and the sun's out. And I need to look up and see Jesus. and look and see, look, my flashlight means nothing. I don't need my flashlight. I need the sun. Some of us are in that place. If you feel a weight, if you get up in the morning and feel guilt like you've got to do something to earn God's love, you're trying to turn on a flashlight when the sun's out. If you come into church feeling guilty because of something that you've done and this weight that's still on you, and you try to make it right doing something else, you're trying to use a flashlight when you need the sun. So we need to see the sun. If you have not seen the sun, if you're tired, if you are weary, if you are worn out trying to make God love you or trying to show him that you're worthy, stop. Look at the sun. We don't need your light. We need Jesus's light. And then as we point people to him, as we show them how great he is, it's amazing. The harvest of righteousness will come forth. When we accept that through his life, death, burial, and resurrection, we can be made new. We can have his righteousness placed upon us. We can see that the only glory that's worth magnifying is his glory and not our own. In that, we will find pure joy. One of my favorite lines in life is, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Maybe someday we'll go through what that means totally. But in essence, what it means is when my heart is most satisfied in God alone, in the things that he has done, in his presence in my life, then he is most glorified. Because the things that happen out as a result of that satisfaction are endless in their reach. You know, if I'm satisfied in God, I don't need the praise of man. I don't need to puff myself up. I don't need to do any of those things that earthly wisdom tells me I need to do. If I'm just looking at him and praising him and satisfied in him, God gets all kinds of glory because more and more people come and are amazed at his glory. So here's my questions to end with. Where do you go for wisdom? This is a very practical question. Where do you go for wisdom? There's a lot of people spouting wisdom out there. I mean, we go to Oprah. And we go to, you know, the Reader's Digest or the Time Magazine or, you know, whatever is on the rack there for our wisdom in the shopping store, grocery store, whatever it's called. Where do you go for wisdom? Is it people around you telling you, they're speaking into your life going, well, you need this because you deserve this. So you need to stand up for yourself and you need to put them down. You should go on the attack. Is it coming from those areas? And this is the way that we find that. This is the way that we filter, and I hope that we see this. Because godly wisdom can come from those around us if it lines up with Scripture. And this is the test that I want us each to use. Is the wisdom that someone is trying to give me, is it primarily about making myself look good, elevating myself, or is it primarily about elevating God and making him look good? That's going to be the test. That's the test of earthly wisdom versus godly wisdom. So if we do anything today, think about that. Think about how that comes in and then the words that go out. If it's about Jesus, if it's about making him look great, it's godly wisdom. If it's ultimately about making me look great or putting someone else down, it's earthly wisdom. And the last question I want to ask is, and this is the most important, do you see that Jesus is all-satisfying to the point that you don't need to seek your own glory in life? And can you live to make much of Jesus? Because if we see that Jesus is all-satisfying, then it's just going to flow out of that. But all of us in here, we need to see, check, Are you trying to shine a flashlight when the sun's out? And I can't answer that for you. Many of you I know are looking at the sun. But I think we all need to ask ourselves at times, because even Christians can fall into the trap of starting to make ourselves look great. But do we see that? Let's pray and ask that God would help us to look to the sun and not try to use our own flashlight, as it were. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for your word. I thank you for the power that is revealed in your word, the power that is evident when your Holy Spirit comes and ignites your word in our hearts and makes it real to us. Lord, you are magnificent. You are glorious. You are awesome. You are an amazing God. You are worthy of all praise and all glory and all honor. Lord, there is not enough words in our language. There are not enough songs written that could adequately describe just how awesome you are. Help us to see it. Help us, Lord, to see your glory. Help us to see you as all satisfying. Help us, Lord, to seek out godly wisdom, wisdom from above. Help us to reject earthly wisdom, the wisdom that puffs us up. Help us to spend our lives making you look good. To spend our lives making you look glorious. To see you for who you are. Do that work, Lord. I can't do that work. But you do it in Jesus' name. Amen. And if the ushers would come forward to